Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 2, Contents of the Gita Summarized, Text Number 2. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Kutasvav Kajmalamidam, Vishame Samupastitam, Anarya Jushtam Ashvargyam, Akirtikaram Arjuna, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Kutaha, where from? Tva, unto you. Kajmalam, dirtiness. Idam, this lamentation. Vishame, in this hour of crisis. Samupastitam, arrived. Anarya, persons who do not know the value of life. Jushtam, practiced by. Ashvargyam, which does not lead to higher planets. Akirti, infamy. Karam, the cause of. Arjuna, O Arjuna. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One of the longest purports in the Bhagavad Gita. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? They are not all befitting a man who knows the values of life. They lead not to higher planets, but to infamy. Purport. Krishna and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are identical. Therefore, Lord Krishna is referred to as Bhagavan throughout the Gita. Bhagavan is the ultimate in the Absolute Truth. Absolute Truth is realized in three phases of understanding, namely Brahman, or the impersonal all-pervasive spirit, Paramatma, or the localized aspect of the Supreme within the heart of all living entities, and Bhagavan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11, this conception of the Absolute Truth is explained thus. Vedanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajnanam avyayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. The Absolute Truth is realized in three phases of understanding by the knower of the Absolute Truth, and all of them are identical. Such phases of the Absolute Truth are expressed as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. These three divine aspects can be explained by the example of the sun, which also has three different aspects, namely the sunshine, the sun surface, and the sun planet itself. What happened to the sun god? The sunshine, the sun surface, and the sun planet itself. They left out Krishna. One who understands the sun's surface is further advanced. One who enters into the sun planet is the highest. Ordinary students who are satisfied by simply understanding the sunshine, its universal pervasiveness, and the glaring effulgence of its impersonal nature may be compared to those who can realize only the Brahman feature of the Absolute Truth. The student who has advanced still further, you know, the sun disk, which is compared to the knowledge of the Paramatma feature of the Absolute Truth. And the student who can enter into the heart of the sun planet is compared to those who realize the personal features of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Therefore, the bhaktis, or the transcendentalists, who have realized the Bhagavan feature of the Absolute Truth, are the topmost transcendentalists. Although all students who are engaged in the study of the Absolute Truth are engaged in the same subject matter, the sunshine, the sun disk, and the inner affairs of the sun planet cannot be separated from one another, And yet the students of the three different phases are not in the same category. The Sanskrit word Bhagavan is explained by the great authority, Parasara Muni, the father of Vyasadeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who possesses all riches, all strength, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, and all renunciation, is called Bhagavan. There are many persons who are very rich, very powerful, very beautiful, very famous, very learned, and very much detached. But no one can claim that he possesses all riches, all strength, etc., entirely. Only Krishna can claim this because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No living entity, including Brahma, Lord Shiva, or Narayan, can possess opulences as fully as Krishna. Therefore, it is concluded in the Brahma Samhita by Lord Brahma himself that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one is equal to or above him. He is the primeval Lord, or Bhagavan, known as Govinda, and he is the supreme cause of all causes. Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karnam Karnam. There are many personalists possessing the qualities of Bhagavan. But Krishna is the supreme because none can excel him. He is the supreme person and his body is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. He is the primeval Lord Govinda and the cause of all causes. In the Bhagavatam also, there is a list of many incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna is described as the original Personality of Godhead, from whom many, many incarnations and personalities of Godhead expand. Ete changsa kala pumsa Krishna stu Bhagavan swayam Indriyari vyakalam lokam Mridayanti yuge yuge. All the lists of the incarnations of Godhead submitted herein are either plenary expansions or parts of the plenary expansions of the Supreme Godhead. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Therefore, Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, the source of both the Super Soul and the Impersonal Brahman. In the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Arjuna's lamentations for his kinsmen is certainly unbecoming, and therefore Krishna expressed his surprise with the word Kutaha. Where from? Such impurities were never expected from a person belonging to the civilized class of men known as Aryans. The word Aryan is applicable to persons who know the value of life and have a civilization based on spiritual realization. Persons who are led by the material conception of life do not know that the aim of life is realization of the Absolute Truth, Vishnu or Bhagavan, and they are captivated by the external features of the material world, and therefore they do not know what liberation is. Persons who have no knowledge of liberation from material bondage are called non-Aryans. Although Arjuna was a Kshatriya, he was deviating from his prescribed duties by declining to fight. This act of cowardice is described as befitting the non-Aryans. Such deviations from duty does not help one in the progress of spiritual life, nor does it give one the opportunity to become famous in this world. Lord Krishna did not approve of the so-called compassion of Arjuna for his kinsmen. So the verse again, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Kuta Swav Kajmalam Idam Bhishame Samupasitam Anarya Jushtam Ashvargyam Akirti Karam Arjuna. Supreme Personality of God has said, my dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? They are not at all befitting a man who knows the values of life. They lead not to higher planets, but to infamy. So Arjuna was having an emotional crisis, a mental breakdown. He was, as they say in English, he was at the end of his rope. And it wasn't very nice. His bow slipped from his hands. Arjuna had promised, had made a vow that if anyone ever asked him to lay down his bow, he'd immediately kill them. But here, Arjuna was so bewildered, he was in such a mental crisis, that even the bow that he vowed would never leave his hands was slipping from his hands. His mind was reeling, and things didn't look very good for him. Luckily, he had God on his side, right by his side. And therefore, Krishna was telling him, actually, later on he'll chastise Arjuna, but this is actually a chastisement also. How are these impurities come upon you? They're not really worthy a person who knows the values of life. In other words, Arjuna doesn't know the value of life. And if he followed his mind around where it was going to take him, it wasn't going to take him to the heavenly planets, but to a very unhappy place. Now, what was Arjuna's problem? He had God right next to him, Krishna right next to him. But in spite of the fact that he had Krishna right next to him, he had forgotten who Krishna was. As a matter of fact, he was arguing with Krishna. Could you imagine? You meet Krishna one day and you start arguing with him. You start arguing with the person who knows everything. It's not very proper to do that. Still, Arjuna was quoting scripture, not to the devil, but to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, arguing with him. Krishna says, Vaidaischaya Savaraham Eva Vedyo, Vedanta Krit Vedavit Eva Chaham. He said, I'm the compiler of the Vedanta and I know all the Vedas. So the person who's compiled the Vedanta Sutra in the form of Vyasadeva and knows the past, present, and future, Arjuna is trying to defeat him with scripture. So Krishna didn't appreciate that very much. And he was telling Arjuna that in spite of the aim of scripture is to elevate one's consciousness, elevate one to a better place. But actually the aim of Krishna, of the scripture is Yo Mam Eva Asamudo Janati Purushottama Sasarvavit Pajante Mam Sarva Bhavena Bharata. That anyone who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting is said to be the knower of everything. And therefore he engages himself in full devotional service. So that's the aim of the scripture. It's first to know Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and then to become encouraged to engage in his devotional service. Now, just to know Krishna is nice, but then one has to belong to Krishna's family. So the first stage is to believe in Krishna, and then to become, well, to belong to Krishna's family, then to become a pure devotee. So Arjuna thought he belonged to a certain small family, and therefore he was bewildered because if he killed a small family, then he wouldn't have any more identity. His whole false ego was wrapped up. The fact that he thought he was a Pandava and that he was a member of the Kuru dynasty. Now if all these Pandavas were killed and the Kuru dynasty was killed, then his false ego would be killed. He'd have nothing to identify himself with. Now Muchukunda, who fought on behalf of the demigods for many thousands of years, after Krishna came to the cave and Muchukunda was awakened by Kalyavana, and Muchukunda woke up and from his eyes came flames and burned Kalyavana to ashes. Because Muchukunda had received the benediction from the demigods that he could sleep. I mean, what kind of benediction is that from a demigod? Even without a benediction from the demigods, we're half asleep all the time anyhow. What do we need a benediction from the demigods? Anyhow, he was so tired because he was fighting for so long that all he wanted to do was sleep. He should have come to the Bhagavatam class or the Bhagavad Gita class. He could have gotten another benediction. So he got the benediction and he lied down in a cave. I mean, that's pretty austere. You got to be really tired to lie down in a cave for, you know, a long time, hundreds of years. In any case, he lied down in the cave and he got the benediction. Anyone who awoke in him untimely, I don't know what time he set the alarm clock for, but it must have been a pretty amazing alarm clock. So Kalyavana came and he saw this man lying on the ground in the cave and he thought it was Krishna trying to avoid him, so he kicked him. And he woke Kalyavana up, and from the eyes of Kalyavana, from Muchukunda came flames and burned Kalyavana to ashes. So that was his benediction, Muchukunda. So what? I forgot what I was trying to say. Anyhow, whatever benediction we want, Krishna will give us. But the highest benediction is devotional service. That if we know Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the next step is to engage in his service, to belong to his family of devotees, to serve him in the family of devotees, and then to become a pure devotee. Iti guyatma shastram idam nyaktva mayanaga etam bhutva buddhivatsat krita kritasya bharata. That this is the most confidential part of the Vedic scriptures, that anyone who knows it will become wise and his endeavors will know perfection. In other words, we should try to appreciate how fortunate we are that at least theoretically we know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that we're engaged in his service somehow or another, at least trying to engage in his service. And therefore, we're engaged in the most confidential part of the Vedic scriptures. Most people don't even know what the Vedas are. What to speak of what the most confidential part of the Vedas are. They can't appreciate. When the devotees are engaged in chanting Hare Krishna, they think it's some ordinary people trying to have a good time. As on Saturday night, they go to the bar and get drunk and sing and dance. So the devotees, they're already drunk. So they go out in the street and sing and dance. So some people appreciate that. And some people think we're just parasites on society. Can't do anything productive. So we just sing and chant, and sometimes even cry. And if we tell them we're engaged in the most confidential part of the Vedic scripture, they'll think, My God, I wonder what else is in that scripture. Because they have no idea, they can't appreciate that there's a person named Krishna. If they think that, even if they think that they believe in God, what do they believe in if you ask them? They believe God is love. Have you ever met love? Or God is peace. That every night you go to sleep and you become unconscious, you meet God. He's unconsciousness. He's peace. So they have no every idea they have about God is just vague. As a matter of fact, they did a survey amongst the religious leaders in England, asking them who they believed God was. So the big, not only in England, it was around the world, they were asking the leaders of different religions who God is. So one person they asked was, one bishop, he said, who's God? He said, God is love. Another one said, God is peace. And the only one who gave a definite answer was Howard, what was his name? I forget it. Who is the person who was publishing Playboy magazine?
Howard Hughes.
What's that?
Howard Hughes.
No, the Howard Hughes is a...
Hugh Hefner.
What's that?
Hugh Hefner.
Hugh Hefner, I guess that's it. Yeah. So he said, God is jazz. I guess he liked music. They also interviewed the devotees, but they wouldn't put what the devotee said because it made too much sense. Anyhow, people have, in general, have no idea who God is or what God is. They have no idea. If they don't know that, they don't know who they are. They don't know what they're here for. They have no real firm faith in anything. And therefore, more or less, they're wasting their time in 8,400,000 species of life. So Arjuna is lamenting because of that, and because people don't know who God is, they inevitably have to lament. Because whatever they do, whatever their hopes are, as Krishna says, mogaisha mogha karmano, mogha jnana vichaita saha, rakshasim asrim chaiva, prakriti mohinim shita. Those who are bewildered by such demoniac and atheistic views, their hopes of liberation, their fruit of activities, and their cultivation of knowledge are all defeated. In other words, they're going to work hard to either get something material, but if you gain something material, we're only here for a very short period of time. It's all lost. And the cultivation of knowledge, they can go on millions of years trying to figure out neti-neti, what's not. But even if they find out what is, all they're going to find out is Brahman, the impersonal Brahman. And that will take millions of lifetimes. And then they'll find out it's not really so wonderful. And therefore they'll come back to the material world looking for fruit of activities. So they'll never really achieve real liberation, nor real knowledge, nor will they be able to gain anything permanent. And therefore they're defeated. They may be victorious, they may think they're victorious, like so many kings have seemingly become victorious, but then afterwards all the kingdoms disappeared when they disappeared. Either the kingdom disappeared or they disappeared. But where are all those pharaohs, all those Roman emperors, where are they now? Napoleon supposedly conquered Europe. But where's Napoleon? As I mentioned several times, every year in France, they do a ceremony where they put a garland on Napoleon's statue. But the statue's outside, So during the year, the birds come and make their offerings to Napoleon. So they have to spend a day scraping off the offerings of the birds to Napoleon. And then they do their ceremony and give Napoleon a garland. And then the next day, the birds come back to make their offerings. And who knows, maybe one of those birds is Napoleon himself. Because no one could really say where Napoleon is. So they think he did something wonderful. What was the result? Nothing. Therefore, only if one does devotional service is actually doing something wonderful and meaningful. Otherwise, it's called shramam evi kevalam. Unless one accepts, one understands and accepts Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and tries to perform devotional service and become part of his family, to become a pure devotee, then what is really everything he's doing is a waste of time. However much he may be glorified and appreciated by other people who are engaged in all kinds of temporary, meaningless activities. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Anyone knows where Napoleon is now? Okay. Khala Grandaraj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.